This week's message, given by Pastor Stephen Young at the Sukkasunny United Methodist Church, April 14th, 2024. The message is Suitcase, Transforming Our Baggage, 2, based on 1 Timothy 6:6-12 and Matthew 6:31-32.
It's good to be with you. Would you join me as I pray? Loving gracious God, we thank you for this beautiful day that you created for us. We thank you for this opportunity to come together and make a pause and think of who you are to us and what you are doing in our lives. Oh God, through this worship, we want to see your face, you, your vision for our lives, our world. Come, Holy Spirit, open our hearts and minds to your words so that we can become more faithful followers of Jesus Christ. We pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So a young accountant, fresh out of college, applied for a job at a small business. The owner, who had built the company from scratch, interviewed this young man, said, "I need someone with an accounting degree, but mainly I'm looking for someone to do my worrying for me." The accountant, intrigued, and asked, "What do you mean by that?" "Well, I have lots of things to worry about, especially my money problem, my finance problem." "Okay," said the accountant. "So how much are you offering?" The owner offered $75,000 to start, then raised it to $85,000. The accountant, surprised by the generous offer, and asked, "Well, how can a business like this afford to pay so much?" The owner, with a worrisome expression, replied, "That's your first worry." I'm sure you heard this story before. But if you could hire someone to do your worrying for you, would you do that? You want to do that? Yeah?
Yes.
How much would you pay for that? I'll apply for that petition. Well, we know such a job doesn't exist. But considering the possibility, the idea of separating ourselves from the act of worrying puts us in perspective. What would our life be like if we didn't have to worry about it at all? What would our life look like if we didn't have to worry about things in our lives? It helps us see our relationship with worries, our emotional baggage, in a fresh way. Last Sunday, we began this new sermon series, Suitcase, Transforming Our Baggage. Again, this series is about how we discern, unpack, transform our baggage. The baggage we carry in our life journey, and what it means to live free from our baggage while remaining accountable and committed as Christians. Well, based on the survey results, many of you identified your biggest baggage is juggling with care for the family. You know, worrying about a child's well-being and missing distant children, relatives. Some of you talked about forgiving someone who hurt you, or dealing with an overwhelming sense of guilt, or feeling of inadequacy, the regrets that keeps coming at us. Others of you identified loss and grief as your emotional burden, the baggage that you carry, the feelings of loneliness. Also attending to health concerns, battling with cancer, dealing with chronic health conditions. We're dealing with relational conflicts with friends and family. You know, no matter how big and heavy your baggage is, the first step is to surrender what we need to lay down and let go. Last week we talked about what it means to lay down before the Lord and learn from His yoke. Even though our baggage, our financial burden, whatever burden that we carry, is not the same as the cross that Jesus called us to take. The first step is to lay down and surrender it to the Lord. And that's what we are called to do. That's our first step as we discern, unpack, and transform our baggage according to God's will and purpose. And the baggage I would like us to examine this morning is this. What does it say?
Financial baggage.
It's quite heavy, so I want to write down here, put it down, so you can see. It is quite heavy. I never worry about money in my life. I was never stressed about money in my life. Anybody? Not me, but any of you? Never worry about money. I was never stressed about money in my life. Anybody? Or except for the kids under age 3. For many people, money equals stress. Even before the global pandemic, a study by the American Psychological Association revealed that 72% of Americans grapple with financial stress. So statistically speaking, 7 out of 10 people in this room are dealing with some type of financial stress. That's a huge number. 7 out of 10 people. From every corner of the globe and from all walks of life, we are encountering financial uncertainty and insecurity. Whether it's job loss, mounting debts, unexpected expenses, or a blend of these, a burden, financial burden weighs heavy. Like any source of overwhelming stress, financial problems, financial baggage we carry can take a huge toll on us. Our mental and physical health, our relationships, our overall quality of life. And mental health professionals say that feeling beaten down by money worries can negatively affect our sleep, self-esteem, energy levels, our mood. It affects us physically, psychologically, and spiritually. And if you are currently feeling the weight of financial stress, financial baggage now, you're not alone, friends. Whatever financial baggage you are carrying today, through today's sermon, I would like us to journey together as we discern and unpack our baggage, financial baggage. And I hope we can surrender it to the Lord with openness and honesty. And one thing we need to do in this process is to first get to know our baggage, to get to know our financial baggage, unpacking what's inside of it. What do we carry inside the financial baggage? Why do you carry what you carry? Why do you carry the way you carry? Or fundamentally, it's about understanding why you live the way you live in terms of your money and finance.
understanding why you live the way you live in terms of your relationship with money and finance. And here's the thing. Getting to know your financial baggage is about getting to know yourself. Who you are in this journey. What you prioritize. What are the priorities you prioritize? By earning, spending, saving, and giving your money. In his book, Pilgrim's Progress, the 17th century writer John Bunyan brilliantly presented the metaphor of journey in a story of a person named Christian. Through this story, he explains the nature of our Christian journey, characterized by different, people, obstacles, and trials. And he shows us that our life is a journey. But without reading this story, we all know that our life is a journey. Though it almost became a cliche to us to say our life is a journey. Each of us is on a journey, and at the end of this journey, we will not need this suitcase anymore. You cannot take what's inside with you. If we take seriously our existential reality, our spiritual destiny as a finite human being, here's the thing we need to be mindful of, especially as we face our financial baggage. Our financial baggage is meant to be luggage for us to carry and use in our journey, supporting ourselves and our loved ones and doing God's work here on earth. It was not meant to be baggage. It was not meant to be a burden for us, though it may often feel like it. Whatever we have in the baggage, how much we have in our luggage, we cannot take them with us as we leave this world. Whether you see this as a baggage or a luggage, it's only for this journey. For our journey on earth. In this letter, Paul reminds Timothy of the spiritual truth, saying, "For we brought nothing into the world, we can take nothing out of it." I used to play Monopoly with my children when they were younger. Playing this game requires some strategies, to become more reach. But what you acquire depends on a luck, the roll of the dice. No matter how much you earn or how many properties or houses and hotels you have acquired, there's a crucial truth that this board game teaches us. Once the game is over, it goes back in the box. You can technically take those fake bills from the box, but you cannot use them at ShopRite or Roxbury Diner. They're completely useless outside of the game. It holds no value. When we finish our race on earth, when we complete our journey here on earth, none of us can take whatever we have in this baggage, in this luggage. Friends, keeping this truth in mind puts our lives into perspective as Christians. It leads us to discern and examine what we are carrying in the suitcase of our lives. I know some of you took a vacation after Easter, and I'm sure you all took a suitcase during your trip. I don't know exactly what you packed in your suitcase for your trip, but, as we get to know, unpack, discern our financial baggage, I want to invite you to examine what's inside your financial baggage now. What you are carrying at the moment. We might carry some bulky, heavy items, like this. Does any of you carry heavy items like this in your baggage now? You know, these are the big, heavy items you carry. In your life journey. Did you hear this? Some of you might think of your debt. Make mortgage payments or medical bills. These heavy, bulky items weigh you down along the journey. And we know they won't disappear magically unless you win a lottery. But how can you surrender this heavy load to the Lord? What are the things that God calls you to do to release yourself from your financial burden caused by this heavy, bulky financial stuff? What about this toiletry bag that can add up and weigh us down? You know, this toiletry bag represents the small stuff, the little things in our financial life then that accumulates and weigh us down along the journey. For example, small recurring expenses that may not seem significant individually, but collectively impact your financial life. Impulse purchases, unnecessary spending on non-essential items. Bank fees, service charges for unused accounts. Ignoring or neglecting minor financial issues which can compound into a bigger problems over time. So when you think about this toiletry stuff in your financial life, what are the things that God called you to do to release yourself from your financial burden caused by this financial toiletry bag? Well, next thing is undergarments in our suitcase. You know, which represent the secret hidden things in your financial life that no one knows about. Something you want to hide deep inside your suitcase. What makes these things something you want to keep hidden? Maybe keeping you from opening up and sharing with your loved ones. This may include hidden debts, financial obligations that you haven't disclosed to your partner or loved ones, or secret spending habits, financial indulgences that you keep private. What are the things that God called you to do to release yourself from the financial burden caused by this undergarment? Lastly, we can get away from this dirty clothes, stinky socks, as you are taking journey. But imagine you carry out this stuff in your suitcase without cleaning, washing them. What's going to happen? What would happen? Well, you might not want to deal with them for various reasons, but it stinks if we don't pay attention to them. For example, financial dishonesty. Dishonesty with taxes. Taking advantage of others financially. How can you give your dirty socks some attention, even if they stink? What in your suitcase of life from this year feels dirty and stinky to you? Like old dirty socks that need to be washed or discarded. What needs to be washed and cleaned? What requires renewal in your financial life? Friends, these are the some of the point of references as you unpack your financial baggage to discern what's inside of your financial baggage and why you carry those stuff. To transform our financial baggage, we need to transform one thing, though. Our worry. turning our worry into trust in God, turning our worry into reliance on the Lord. Of course, we need all those resources, strategies, and tools to improve our finance. We need a knowledge and resources to do that. That's why we had the Financial Peace Workshop between the services. And we will continue this type of workshop going forward. You know, we need to be knowledgeable about what we can utilize to improve our finance, to grow the skills to manage our money. But more than anything else, we need to transform this thing, worry. We need to transform our level of trust in God, our quality of trust in the Lord. I don't know how many of you like to sit in a rocking chair. Anybody has a rocking chair? Yeah. Maybe some of our church family who are worshiping online might be sitting in a rocking chair now. But I'm sure you remember the old saying that worrying is like sitting in a rocking chair. Why is that? Why is worrying is like sitting on a rocking chair? Well, rocking back and forth in the chair gives us something to do. But we know it really doesn't get us anywhere. It talks about a state of mind we choose, especially worrying. Worrying will consume our thoughts, shape our minds, emotions, and take away the joy in our hearts. But it cannot change anything. That's what worry does for us. By worry, we think we cannot control the uncontrollable, as someone said. Now let's take a look at this passage from Matthew that Jesus taught his followers. He's talking about worry here. This is one of his famous sermons, what's called the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, "Therefore I will tell you, do not worry about your life. Look at the birds of the air, they don't sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." You know, 2,000 years ago, the people faced much greater uncertainty regarding the essentials of life, food and drink, clothes, compared to the relative comfort enjoyed by the average Americans in today's world. There was a significant uncertainty, insecurity, when it comes to those essentials. So Jesus' teaching not to worry about these necessities represented a significant challenge. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? And these questions may take a different shape to us living in 2024. For those who are living in today's economy might ask a question like this: how shall we afford rent or mortgage payments? Where can we find reliable employment? How can we manage rising healthcare costs? What if something happens to me? What if I lose my job? Will I be okay? Will my family be okay? Will I be able to make it through, make my ends meet? What if I don't have enough for my retirement and cannot pay the bills and loans and mortgages? What if I get sick and can't afford my medical bills? You know, these questions reflect the pressing concerns of people in today's world. As we are striving to navigate this economic challenge and insecurity. And as he taught this important lesson about worry, Our Lord Jesus Christ knew most of us are visual learners. So he talks about the wildflowers, the lilies, and the birds in the sky. And you will see them as soon as you leave this place of worship. And you go out into your yard, you will see those flowers and birds. And as you see them, take it as Jesus reminding you of the message. Do not worry. And as you hear this message this morning, I want you to do something too. Look outside this window and see the birds and flowers. They seem to be doing okay, right? Not a single one of those birds is watching in fear and anxiety. None of them are stocking up on toilet paper or hand sanitizer like we did during the pandemic. We know this sounds ridiculous, but keep Jesus' words in mind as you are dealing with these financial baggage. I cannot give you those financial tips and strategies. I'm not an expert on that. What I can encourage you to do as you unpack your financial baggage, transform your relationship with worries. Transform your relationship with worries and transform your quality of trust in the Lord. Jesus says, look at those birds. Look at those wildflowers. You're a human being who was carefully made in the image of God. Don't you think God cares more about you than the sparrows and the blue jays or cardinals? Somehow, sometimes, we realize really terrible things that do happen to us. Sometimes it could be a financial turmoil. And it reminds us of what's worth worrying about. And what is not. Nothing actually is worth worrying about, not even the worst tragedies and struggles that are ours. For it is all in God's hands. God is not worried about supply chains and economic downturns. And yet he feeds the birds day in and day out. So we better believe that he will take care of us. He will take care of our needs. So friends, do not worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Amen.